Last week, I had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Gadarz Molay, who is the director of the state's tick testing program, and we spoke about the very high numbers of tick infection this year, as well as the wide variety of diseases beyond just Lyme disease that you can get from them, diseases, illnesses, syndromes. It runs the gamut. In particular, we spoke about alpha-gal syndrome, which is becoming more and more common in Connecticut. It causes a delayed allergic reaction to red meat or dairy, up to and including anaphylaxis. It can be, in fact, a life-threatening syndrome. So during our conversation, Dr. Molay spoke to me about a study that's happening in Connecticut right now to get a little bit more information about alpha-gal. We didn't have time to get into it last week, but thankfully this week, Dr. Molay, thank you so much for joining me again.
Thank you for having me.
So, let me first ask you to correct any inaccuracies I might have said about alpha-gal syndrome, and go into a little bit more detail, if you wouldn't mind, about what this is and where people can get it. It's the Lone Star tick in particular that has it, right?
Yes, but we don't know whether other tick species are involved in causing this allergic reaction or not, and if they are, what is their what's the extent of their involvement in this kind of allergic reaction?
All right, so we talked about how there are multiple invasive tick species in Connecticut outside of what we commonly know as the deer and dog tick. That includes the Lone Star tick, which you and I just mentioned, and also the Lone Star tick and the Longhorn tick is the other one. There we go. But talk to me a little bit more about this allergy first before we get into the study. Now, how long, if you contract alpha-gal syndrome, how long does this allergic reaction last? Like if I was to get it or my son was to get it, how long before I could eat a cheeseburger again?
So first of all, alpha-gal is a sugar molecule that exists in mammalian cells, okay, except for primates, including humans. So when a tick bites an animal, let's say white-tailed deer or other mammal, they pick up this sugar molecule, and this sugar molecule exists or is added to their saliva. And when that particular tick attempts to bite another mammal, including, in this case, humans, some humans show reaction to that kind of sugar molecule because we do not have that sugar molecule, and our immune system recognizes that sugar molecule as an invading compound or invading agent and starts showing reaction.
Okay.
And after this initial exposure, whenever we are consuming any products that originated from mammals, our immune system reacts this time with a higher degrees of response. As a result, in some individuals, this leads to starting with some mild reaction, allergic reaction, but in some individuals, this reaction is quite severe, and there are a number of symptoms associated with this kind of allergic reaction, including some skin reaction, including hives and itchy rashes, and so on. Then it could also involve digestive tract symptoms such as stomach pain, cramping, nausea, and others. And then in some individuals, it could be also associated in addition with respiratory distresses,
yeah,
coughing, and wheezing. And finally, this could lead in some individuals to very severe reaction. It's called anaphylaxis reaction. That is a life-threatening reaction. And unfortunately, in the past few years, we have had a few cases of severe reaction and death as the result of this allergic reaction.
I mean, that's terrifying to think of, especially when you're talking about, like, all of these things could come from, like I said, a cheeseburger, but, you know, a glass of milk, pork chops, you know, stuff like that. So how long, you know, is this a lifetime condition once you get alpha-gal? Is that it? You're never having milk or steaks ever again?
It is believed, first of all, it is not just steak and milk.
No, of course, I'm generalizing, right? Yeah.
Could be to even to certain things such as gelatin, such as capsules that are gelatinous capsules, or even some medical equipment that have some parts originated from mammalian cells.
Oh, wow.
So in terms of how long this allergic reaction lasts, it depends on the individual, the detail of which is not clear. It is believed that good number or good percentage of people recover after a few years, and they can, or after some kind of treatment, they can get back to consuming red meat products or mammalian products originated from cows or other animals. But in some cases, it is lifelong, lasting allergic reaction. And as I mentioned, that some individuals can no longer consume red meat for the rest of their lives.
I mean, that's it really is. It's, I mean, it sounds easy to control, but then you think about just the sheer number. I mean, like you said, even Jell-O has, you know, this particular sugar that, you know, people become intolerant to. So we spoke last week about a study that your office is conducting right now to learn more about alpha-gal, especially its presence in Connecticut. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so there are a number of unknowns about alpha-gals. Currently, CDC and other public health agencies are trying to understand. First of all, we do not know whether Lone Star tick is the only tick that might be involved in allergic reaction. Second, we do not know whether those who have been exposed to repeated tick bites are at greater risk, and whether those who have developed tick-borne diseases in the past, whether they also have greater risk of developing this allergic reaction. Therefore, we thought that Connecticut is a perfect state in order to conduct a comprehensive study and understand some of these unknowns. So the study involves, in this study, we are going to collect a blood sample from 1,600 humans. These 1,600 would include 200 per county. And the individuals that we are planning to recruit would be those individuals who have submitted ticks to our laboratory. We know the history of their exposure to tick bites and perhaps their history of tick-borne diseases that they have contracted in the past.
Okay.
And then we will conduct after we collect the blood, we will look at the antibody to alpha-gal and find out, so what is the ratio? What is the prevalence in the general public in Connecticut? What is the prevalence in those individuals who have submitted ticks, particularly Lone Star tick, to our laboratory, and whether we do see any discrepancy between those individuals who live in counties like New Haven and Fairfield with established population of Lone Star tick versus those who live in other counties where we don't have established population of Lone Star tick.
Okay. So the people who would be participating in this study would be taken from your pool of people who've already submitted ticks to your office. But this isn't necessarily people who've already contracted alpha-gal, right?
That is correct. We don't know that. We will find out whether because there are, it is believed that there are far more or far greater numbers have already developed Lalfagal syndrome, but they may not even know that.
Oh, okay, because so the symptoms are so light, like maybe they're just getting like a small rash or like just a mild allergic reaction, and they aren't clocking that that's coming from Alpha-Gal syndrome in particular.
Correct. And so by doing this, in addition to targeting those individuals who have submitted to our laboratory, we understand that we might need also collect some additional samples among those individuals or from among those individuals that have not submitted ticks to our laboratory. And so as you can imagine, we are primarily focusing on those who have submitted ticks to our laboratory because of the reasons that I discussed.
Right.
And we will get also some samples from outside those who have submitted ticks to our laboratory.
Well, yeah, because I was going to ask, you know, do you have the numbers? I think you said, I think you said 1,600 is what you're looking for total. Do you have the numbers already just based off of people who have submitted to conduct the study, or do you need more?
We have received over the several years, over the past, we have received about over 160,000 tick submissions to our laboratory. If we want to just focus in the past, let's say, decade, because some of those who have submitted before that might not be available.
Oh, so it can go back that long.
Out of the States.
Right, okay,
so we are not going to go back that long, but we will focus on maybe, depends upon how the availabilities look like. We might focus on the past 5 years. Even if we focus on the past 5 years, we will have a target of 30,000 people. So we need only 1,600.
Okay. And how long do you, I suppose this might be a question that's impossible to answer at this earliest stage, but how long do you expect this study to continue? You know, how long before you can, you know, come out with some real hard data?
If we are realistic, I'm thinking of maybe within 2 years we will have, at the end of 2 years, we will have the data available.
Oh, okay, well, that's
because
not...
It is not, because it collects data. So the most important part is recruiting people.
Okay.
Beyond that, it will not take that long. And we have well set up laboratory. We have well set up staff. I am recruiting a postdoctoral scientist to take charge. And I am optimistic that within 2 years we will have a solid data to present to public health authorities and let those individuals who donated blood know whether they have develop this kind of allergic reaction or not.
All right. Well, I mean, if there's someone listening right now to our conversation and they've, you know, they've submitted a tick within the last couple of years, or if they've, you know, previously, you know, had a tick-borne illness or something like that, are you looking for people to reach out to your office, or is that something you're going to do?
That is an ideal setting, and within maybe the next few weeks, we will reach out through a press release. And I'm grateful to you that you are letting the public know. Yes, they can reach out. They can send email to me and or to the laboratory. They already have the my email address and the tick testing laboratory email address. They can send us and volunteer for this effort as well.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to link that to our podcast link as well. So if you're listening right now, you can go to voiceofct.com and you can go to our podcast, and I'll make sure I link that information in there as well. Dr. Molai, thank you again so much for, you know, the work you're doing and for making time for me this morning. I do really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure. You have a good day.
You as well. You're listening to The Voice Connecticut, WICC. This is The Download.